We welcome you today to the Wayne County Bible Center on this November 13th, 2022. And the title of today's message is The One Thing That Is Needful According to the Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, and we're going to read through verse 42. And you've read the story many, many times. But what transitioned us into this, and I shared this with you last week, that I felt the Spirit was transitioning me. We've been studying the need for God's wisdom in our life. Solomon was told by God in a vision, you can have anything you want. Anything. And the Lord said, yeah, you know, you can ask for riches, you can ask for victory over your enemies. And Solomon said, all I want is your wisdom. I want your wisdom to navigate through life. So we saw the realization in Solomon's life of his need for God's wisdom. And in James 1:5, we looked at that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God for his wisdom, and he gives it to you liberally and will hold nothing back. And so often, we don't realize the things we really need. And so, as I was studying this, it was taking me to a verse I knew was somewhere, and a phrase that I knew was somewhere that said, one thing is needful. And another great sermon series, in case I go home to Jesus, maybe you can teach it. Another great sermon series would be on the word one. You know, Paul says, this one thing I do. And then Jesus said to the rich young ruler, there is one thing you lack. Well, yeah, you know, I started cross-referencing the Holy Spirit, I told Ben for Wednesday night. He starts cross-referencing all this stuff in my mind. So, if wisdom, God's wisdom, is needful, let's look at what the Lord says about one thing that is needful. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went, Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered and burdened about with much serving. She was fixing dinner, she's cleaning stuff up, she's getting the table set. And she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this stuff by myself? Make her get up and come help me. I don't know this, but I think Mary was her little sister. That sounds like something a big sister would say. The older sister. Okay. Is that correct? Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, weekly sin. I confess this filth out to you, out loud. And I want to thank you that you're the only one, the Bible says, we need to confess. And if we'll confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us by the power of your blood. And so, Father, I pray for an anointing today, at this time and later on, to lift you up and glorify you. And Father, that your Spirit will just use me right now and later just as a vessel to share your words of comfort or your words of wisdom or whatever you would have. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. Holy Spirit, lead us now. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now look at what the scripture says in verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, what is Jesus saying there? And if you look at that word needful in the Greek, it actually means an absolute necessity. There is one thing that is an absolute necessity. And we know that Jesus is speaking from a spiritual standpoint. But when you compare that to the physical standpoint, and I said, you know, as I was doing my notes, you know, make a list. What is absolutely a necessity when it comes to the physical? Oxygen. I mean, that's pretty serious. You know, water. That's pretty serious. You know, light, sunshine, food. You know, what is an absolute necessity for us physically? And now he's saying this is the one priority, absolute necessity for your spiritual life. And I wonder, you know, I was thinking, what if I was sitting out there with y'all and Jesus came in here on a Sunday morning and got up here in this pulpit and he looked at all of us and he said, I'm going to tell you right now the one thing that is needful for your spiritual life. Man, ears would perk up. Oh my, we would grab hold of the words of Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, he's telling us that right now. All right, and I've missed it for 30-something years, this part of the scripture. Not that I've not done it, but I have missed it. So what is the one thing that's needful? Go to verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So two aspects of what's going on, what is needful. She had placed herself before the Lord. She took the time to place herself before the Lord. Number one, she took the time to place herself one-on-one before the Lord. And number two, with an expectancy to receive what God had to say to her. To hear what God would say unto her. And notice, she made a choice. Look at what it says in verse 32. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen. She made the choice to dedicate that allotment of time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, you've got Martha. How did she choose to do her time? She was cumbered about with much serving. She was preparing food. She was sweeping out the kitchen and the foyer. And she was busy with much serving. How did Mary choose to spend her time? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus and presenting herself unto the Lord to hear what the Lord might say to her in a one-on-one situation. Now, when we look at Martha and Mary, I want you to understand, I believe this scripture, this passage, gives us a life principle, and this is it. Whatever it is that you deem important, or whatever it is that you value, or whatever it is that you see as needful in your life to make it fulfilling, to make it complete, to make it better, you will make time for. You'll make time for. In my teens and 20s, I got up at 4 a.m. a lot of times to duck hunt. Because I loved to duck hunt. Dove hunted. Traveled. It was important to me. All my friends did it. It was something I enjoyed. I valued it. If you'd have told me back then that you're going to take my guns away or I couldn't hunt anymore, man, I would feel like something was incredibly missing out of my life. So Martha chose her time in one way. Mary chose her time in another way. So I want to give you four aspects of verse 39. Look at what it says. She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And in verse 42, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away to her. So what is the most needful, the one thing most needful to make your life what it should be according to the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, you got to make a choice. Number one, it's a choice. You've got to make a choice. Number two, you've got to make a choice to take the time. You got to make a choice to take the time. Number three, to place yourself before the Lord. To place yourself before the Lord. Just you and God. And number four, to do it with purpose by which you're going to receive from something from God. You're going to hear from Him a word of counsel, a word of comfort, a word of wisdom, a word of direction. So you're going to make the choice to place yourself, to take the time to place yourself before the Lord and hear what He has to say to you. And so Jesus, bro, Leo, you've been preaching this for 25 years. Yeah, but I've never hit on the words of Jesus. You can say, oh, that's Brother Leo. You know, he's got that personal relationship with the Lord. And, you know, he'd rather just get alone in the woods with God. And that's it. You know, I'm not telling you what Brother Leo's saying is needful. I'm telling you Jesus Christ said for your spiritual life to be what it needs to be, and your entire life will never be what it needs to be until your spiritual life is what it needs to be. He says you've got to make the choice and the commitment to regularly give me my time and get alone with me. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and let me show you again. We're talking about alone, solitary, focus time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus is telling people how to pray, how to place themselves before the Lord. And in Matthew 6, Jesus says this, "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." Amen. Now I want to go back to the beginning of that verse. When you pray, I want you to notice a huge thing here. It's not if you pray. When you pray, I want you to go get alone. I want you to shut the door. I want you to shut out distraction. Shut out busyness. I want you to quit preaching, Leo. I want you to quit studying, Leo. I want you to quit all the do-gooder stuff, Leo. And I want you to get alone with me where you're not distracted and where there is a solitary focus where you present yourself before me. When you pray, not with. So Jesus Christ has an expectation of me that I'm going to do this regularly. Our goal is every day. Our goal is every day. I nail down probably 5 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week, where I get alone with the Lord, 4 different days. I'm not a 7 for 7 day. The devil wins some victories over me where I get distracted or get busy, or Sunday's not a day when I can really get alone with the Lord and just open myself up, because I'm running over and over in my mind what I'm going to be doing in here. I told someone, I got a text from a pastor friend today here in the county, and just praise God for these folks. Greg Eaton sent a text to tell me he was praying for me, and so many folks have reached out. And I told somebody the other day, and they said, "What are you going to say?" I said, "Since Monday night when I got home, I've preached this funeral message 100 times. I said, I wake up preaching it. I go to bed preaching it. I wake up in the middle of the night preaching it. I'm driving to go see Dave and Valerie, and I'm preaching it. And I'm driving home, and I'm preaching it. And every time, it's probably been totally different. Totally different. But I know that God will give me what He needs to give me." So I don't have that focus I'm talking about on a Sunday morning, because I'm thinking about what we're doing right now. And then Sunday, well, why don't you do it on Sunday night? Usually on Sunday night, I'm emptied out. And I can't give God the attention that I want to give Him. But notice what He says. He goes, when you pray. The Lord requires a solitude, a time of you alone with Him. Look what He says. When you pray, enter the closet, shut the door, and there's only two people there. The Heavenly Father and you, and what you say in secret, and the Father's going to reward you openly. You're going to give to God. God's going to give unto you. And you don't have to go there, but it's Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door and come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. You know the only two people in that verse? The he and the him. The me and you, Lord. It's a time of communion. It's a time of solitude. It's a time of presenting yourself before the Lord. And so He asks us to make it a priority. To put forth the effort, to get away, to get alone. And I'm going to tell you something. You might be saying, Brother Leo, you don't know my schedule. No, I don't know your schedule. But before I got a full-time ministry, I was in secular work. And I was able to get alone with the Lord. Not like I can now. Sue Sanders taught school at Sumter High School. She taught English or math, I can't remember which one, for 30-something years at Sumter High School. Sumter High School can be a war zone. Large, large school outside of Myrtle Beach. 4,000 students, like the, you know, some of these larger ones. Half and half, racial. She arose at 5 o'clock every morning to have her 30 minutes alone with God. Tony preached it and preached. He told folks all the time. She had four children and a husband who was in the ministry. It's all in what, and Sue will tell you right now, I couldn't have made it through life without my time alone with Jesus. She faced many, many challenges. Her husband died young. Challenges with her children in rebellion at times. So it's not an option if you want your life to be. Now, God's not going to force you. You know, the Lord is not going to force you. Go to Mark chapter 1. Just go with me to Mark chapter 1. The one thing that is needful. Leah, I got out of the traditional ministry because I got robbed of it a lot when I was in the traditional ministry. Mark chapter 1, just one verse, verse 35. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says this, and in the morning rising up a great while before day, we're talking about Jesus here, right? The Son of God, the perfect one, the all-powerful, nothing was made but was made by Him. And in the morning rising up a great while before day, Jesus, went out away from the disciples and departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed. Amen. You think He's setting an example? Oh my goodness. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. You never heard this in my church. You heard, come to church. Come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Put the money in the offering plate. Be part of a training union Sunday school. Nobody ever told me that the meat and the potatoes of your quote-unquote religious life is not found in church attendance. It is found in you placing yourself before the Lord. Amen. I know a lot of preachers that would rather be busy than place themselves before the Lord. I realize how fallible I am. I appreciate God revealing things to me that I need revealed to me. There's a whole lot more I need revealed to me about myself. A lot of folks in the name of religion are actually running from God, doing different things to keep themselves from doing this. Here's Jesus. What is He doing? He is making this a priority. He is putting forth an effort to get away and to meet with God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. One thing is needful. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart from everybody to pray. And when the evening was come, he was still there alone and he was praying. Verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. You want the moral of that story? You need to walk on water, get alone with God and pray. Yeah, you want to find victory in your life? Establish a quiet time 4 or 5 days a week where you get alone with Jesus. It's a discipline. It's a process. We've got too many athletes in here that don't know how you discipline yourself. You become part of the process to make yourself better and better and stronger and stronger in the physical. And Paul said, you run a race for a corruptible crown. When you do these things in a spiritual manner, they change your life everlasting. They change your life eternally. They have eternal ramifications. You find victory where you've never had victory before. He walked on water. Man, I grew up in the religious culture where folks were good folks if they went to church. Oh yeah, man, boy, they're in church every time the doors are open. I don't want to know that. Do they get along with the Lord? Do they meet with Jesus? Oh, well, so-and-so got baptized. They got baptized. Oh, well, I hope that's fine. But did they have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ by which they were indwelt by His Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Yeah. So-and-so's a member of the church. Well, are they a child of God? See, we've come up with this entire surface vernacular. The power is in getting alone with Jesus. Placing yourself before the Lord. Whether it's in an easy chair, whether it's in your workout room, whether it's in the woods like me. I'm an outdoors guy. I had a guy text me this week who's on vacation. And he said, Brother Leo, I just want you to know, I listen to you every morning driving into work, but this week I'll be listening to you walking on the beach of Pensacola. And I said, well, praise God. You know, make sure you get alone with the Lord. Make sure you get alone with the Lord. So if you want to walk on water, make it a priority. Go with me to Daniel chapter 6. We remember him. One thing is needful. Man, that thing grabbed me this week. Monday morning, I got up and the Lord had me rolling in the scriptures. He knew what phone call I was going to get Monday afternoon. And so he was pouring this out on me on Monday morning. In Daniel chapter 6, those in the kingdom that were jealous of Daniel because he was a Hebrew and wanted him removed got Nebuchadnezzar to pass a law requiring that people would bow down, or Darius, I'm sorry, that people would bow down to an idol because they knew Daniel would never do that. And when he heard of it, when King Darius signed the writing in the decree, in verse 10, it says this: "Now when Daniel knew that that decree was signed, he went into his house." He got alone. Sometimes something's going to come up in your life and you need to go get alone with Jesus. But another good thing is to already have a consistency of being alone with Jesus, so you'll have some spiritual inner strength to face what could come up that you never saw coming. So he says this: "Now when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks as he set himself before his God." And look at that last phrase: "As he had always done." As he had always done. Patsy, you know the moral of that story. If you need the mouths of hungry lions shut, get alone with God. He got thrown in the lion's den after his prayer time with a bunch of lions that they had starved. And when they opened up to look in, guess what happened? Daniel was laying there on top of one of them, rubbing his mane. And there was another one. He's on all fours. Daniel was scratching his stomach. And those old boys that thought they were going to get the best of Daniel, they said, "We're not messing with this Hebrew boy no more." One thing is needful. Go with me to Psalm 63. I want you to see the value of it. Brother Leo, if I get consistent with getting alone before the Lord, with placing myself before the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. Well, Brother Leo, how do you place yourself before the Lord? I usually place myself before the Lord with a psalm or with a devotional. And it takes me maybe a minute to read a devotional, or 2 minutes to read a devotional. And I can begin with 3 or 4 or 5 intercessions about someone, something, some situation, my family always. And then I'll show you some more in a moment. But I want you to understand the value. You place yourself before the Lord in solitude with a focus and with an openness before God, you're going to see changes in your life. You're going to see victories in your life. You're going to, like Paul prayed, that you be strengthened with the Spirit strength in your inner man. You'll get more of God's wisdom. But let me show you Psalm 63 verse 1. Look at what he says: "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." He's getting alone with God. "My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary." So what is the psalmist's expectancy? The power and the glory of God. Another word for the glory of God is the presence of God. I want God to manifest His presence to me. And I want to experience His power. I need His power. Every day. And you go in with that expectancy. And when that becomes consistent, and when that becomes, you know, part of your daily and weekly routine, in 3 or 4 months, you'll look back over it and you'll see the change. You may be, and Patty is an evening person. Patty gets alone with the Lord before she goes to sleep at night. I'm a morning person. I'm still rejoicing over the time change. Now I get up at 4. But I have hope. My body will adjust right before we go back. This is a plot. You know it's a plot. You go in with expectancy. Let me show you another one. It's going to take you a minute. Go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. It's near the end of the Old Testament, but I will wait for you to get there. I have an expectancy to experience His presence, to experience His power. You need to go into that prayer closet expecting to receive something from God. Now, in Habakkuk, the prophet says this, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, he says this, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set myself upon the watchtower. The watchtower that waited for the dawn so that the signal could be given to sound the trumpets. But I will place myself before the Lord upon the watchtower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. You just get... Place yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to hear a word from You. I need to hear a word from You concerning this. I need to, it might be a word of reproof or conviction, a word of counsel, a word of guidance, a word of wisdom. Lord, I need to hear from You on this. And I will hear what He will say unto me. I was in a situation, a few weeks back. And I received a text, pretty lengthy text, on a Saturday night. And a lot of times you receive a text and you can misunderstand. And I didn't know what I was being asked to do as the pastor of the Wayne County Bible Center. So I did, I sent it to Betty and Ken. And I wrote, I said, what do you think of this? And they texted me back and said, I don't know. I'll pray. We'll pray for you. And it was a Saturday night, and I've been watching football. And so I said, man, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to disappoint somebody. I don't want to mess up. So I told Patty, I said, I'm going to go get along with the Lord. So I got up and I sat on my swing on the front porch, and I began praying. And like you said Wednesday night, I've been preaching on getting God's wisdom. I said, Lord, I need God's wisdom on. I need Your wisdom. And probably after about 20 minutes, and I don't know this individual that well. So after about 20 minutes, I got the most calm and the most peace. And the Lord said, call them. Just call them. And so I went in and I called the individuals. And they explained to me exactly what they were asking from me, which was not what I thought was being asked. But I placed myself before God in a specific situation. And God gave me an answer. Now, sometimes it doesn't come in 20 minutes. But as you place yourself before God and you ask Him that, Lord, I'm going to see what You're going to say to me about this situation, and I'm going to answer You. See, it's give and take. When you get along with God, you want to receive from Him. You want to share with Him. You want to cry out with Him. I've been with Valerie and David, since Monday night, and And they want to know why. They want to know why. They want to know why. We fought. We prayed for a miracle. We got him in programs. We did this. We did that. Why, Brother Leo? Why, Brother Leo? Why didn't we get our miracle? Valerie even told me. She said, there are times I sit in the Wayne County Bible Center. She said, I hear all these people talk about what God's done for their family. And she said, you know, I think, why didn't God do it for my family? And we're not even talking about Cameron. This before Cam. It's going back to Joseph. So what's your message for today, Brother Leo? My message for the day is God's ways are higher than ours. And the reason you didn't get this miracle was because God wanted something better. Because any miracle you get on the face of this earth, guess what? You're still in this fallen world.
Amen.
There are two verses of Scripture. One of them, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will receive you to where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he says in John 17, Father, I will that these that you have given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. You know what you want? I know what I want. You know what God wants? God wants every one of us with Him.
Amen. Yes.
In His presence.
Yes.
You either believe in the reality of how wonderful heaven is, or we don't. I don't hope about heaven, Cleo. I know that I know that I know. I know whom I have believed, and I'm assured that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day. I am convinced. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I made it to the third heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't even have words to describe it. And then later he said, I want to go back, but God's leaving me here to minister to y'all. There are other situations in life where you've got to understand your way is not God's way and God's way is not your way. There are things God wants to do for each and every one of us, but we're holding on to our way. But notice what he said. I will receive from you. I will hear. You go in there with an expectancy that God is going to move upon you. I'm in Wayne County, Tennessee because God moved upon me. Many, many months, even years of prayer before we moved here. I want to close out with one verse, Psalm 46:10, and we'll pick up there next week. This is how you place yourself before the Lord, which is extremely difficult in today's culture. In Psalm 46:10, I want you to understand, I believe this verse is conditional. And it says this, be still and know that I am God. You got to be still. Stillness. One translation I read says this, be still and perceive and experience my presence and allow me to make myself known unto you. Let me say it again. Be still and perceive and experience my presence and allow me to make myself known unto you. God, are you in this? There are situations you're going through in life right now, and you need to find out, is God in this? There are directions you're going in your life right now, and you need to find out, is God in this? Rapha, R-A-P-H-A-H, stillness. It means an absence of noise or activity or motion, to cease from, to let go, an absence of noise and activity and motion, to cease from, a letting go. You know, when the psalmist wrote this, there was a whole lot more absence of noise and activity and motion. What did the prophet Daniel say? In the end times, they're going to be running to and fro, and knowledge is going to increase. That phrase, to and fro, means sometimes they're just right running sideways to sideways to sideways. Running in circles. We used to have some dogs in our neighborhood when I was growing up. They chased their tails. You know when a dog quits chasing his tail? When he wears himself out. I mean, they'll chase their tail. Next thing you know, man, they're... They never caught their tail. A lot of people live that way. Yeah. A lot of people live that way. Be still and perceive and experience my presence and allow me to make myself known unto you. It's a letting go of with purpose to see what the Lord will say unto you. And it's conditional. God makes himself known unto you. Listen to me, and I'm closing. God makes himself known unto you as a result of you placing yourself before the Lord in stillness. It's conditional. You can listen to me preach 1,000 sermons. You will never grow spiritually unless you place yourself before God in openness and honesty. Alone in solitude. I speak to him out loud. Patty said she was driving home yesterday from Florence. And she said, you know, Lee, I was going down the road. I was talking to Cameron out loud. Saying things to him. I want to close where we began. If you'll go back to Luke chapter 10. Scripture says this. Now it came to pass as they went, in verse 38, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, you are full of care and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has made the choice of the good part of sitting herself before me and hearing my words, and that will never, ever, eternally be taken away from. She made a choice to take the time to place herself before the Lord and hear his words. Whatever it is that you deem important, you make a choice to take the time to participate in that. And that's fine. I do a lot of things that I enjoy doing. But are you neglecting making that choice to take time to get along with Jesus? I wrote in my notes, does he not deserve this? The one that has given me life and breath, the one that has given me my son and my daughter-in-law, the one that has given me my wife and my church, the one that has given me the health to be here today, does he not deserve some of my time? Amen. Alone with him? You know, Dwayne came up to tell me about how the fish were biting, you know, and how he's catching fish. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll take the time and I'll go because I love to fish. I make the choice. I take the time. But the bottom line is, there are a lot of folks that come to church every Sunday, and they set aside time for a whole lot of things, And as far as alone solitude time with Jesus, as far as departing into a mountain alone to pray, there is no time spent with Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you are consistently getting alone with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to just ask the Lord to speak to you in the next time that y'all get alone. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to sit myself before you like I've been doing these last several years. And I want to wait and listen and hear what you've got to say to me. And if you're here today and you've not been spending that time alone with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to convict you. To just reach down and grab your heart. And I want you to feel like I feel sometimes. I want you to feel that conviction. Man, I've missed my time with the Lord. I've allowed myself to get distracted. Today, 30 minutes, I could have given that time to the Lord, and I chose to do that. Or I chose to have a pity party, or I chose to get involved in something else. I really believe 30 minutes alone with God 4 or 5 times a week will radically change your behavior, your attitude, your perspective. It'll take away anxiety. It'll fill you with peace. It'll give you guidance and direction where you're wavering and waffling and going back and forth. You might be a morning person or an evening person. I'm not Daniel. I'm not 3 times a day. But I try hard for 1 time a day. Every now and then it's 2. But Jesus is telling us today that one thing is needful, and He wants you to make that choice. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you spend a moment speaking with the Lord?